So as I mentioned, and obviously, you know, with the decorations and everything, we are in the season of Advent. Can you believe it? Only 4 weeks away from Christmas. I don't know how many days that is for shopping, but for me, that's quite a few days yet. But so at Advent, this is the time of year, these 4 weeks is a time. By the way, the word Advent is a Latin word which means coming. And so this is a time that we prepare ourselves to get ready, the anticipation of not only the first coming of Jesus, which happened 2,000 years ago on that very first Christmas, but also preparing for the second coming of Jesus. And so that's what these next four weeks are going to be all about. And what we're going to do these next 4 weeks is take a look at four different passages from the book of Isaiah. So a couple things about Isaiah. Isaiah is a major prophet in the Old Testament. He was around roughly around 700 years BC, you know, before Jesus was born. And he had a lot of prophecies, and he is the prophet that has a lot of detail in his prophecies about the coming Messiah. So these next 4 weeks, we're going to be taking a look at four of those prophecies. And the first one is Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And you can follow along on the screen. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And so that's Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So for those that know me, what do you think is the thing that jumped out to me when I first read this? Very good. Yes, mountains, of course. This is a prophecy about a mountain. Isaiah is talking about a mountain, and the mountain he's talking about is Zion, Mount Zion. It's a literal mountain in Jerusalem, and this mountain top is now, I mean, when we went to Israel, the group of us, you don't really get to see the mountain top because it's covered with the Temple Mount and buildings and everything else, but it's a literal mountain top that Isaiah is talking about. He's also talking about Mount Zion in a figurative way, and we'll get to that in a second. And so this Mount Zion, this is one of those things that I love. This is crimson thread here in a nutshell about Mount Zion. So if we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 22, Abraham was asked by God to take his son Isaac up to a mountain that he was going to tell him about and sacrifice his son. So amazingly, because of the faith that Abraham had been given, he did this. And the mountain that he was to go to was this mountain, Mount Zion. It's also named Mount Moriah, but I won't bore you with all those details. That's just stuff that interests me. But Mount Zion is where Abraham was to go. And so they got up to this top, and Abraham got the altar ready and the wood, and everything was ready for the sacrifice. And Isaac, not knowing that he was going to be the sacrifice, says to his dad, Dad, where is the sacrifice? And listen to the words that Abraham says, these prophetic words that he probably didn't realize how prophetic they were. He said to his son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So if you haven't read Genesis 22, spoiler alert, Abraham did not have to sacrifice his son Isaac. He was stopped. And God indeed did provide a sacrifice. This happened on the top of Mount Zion. Let's fast forward now to the time of David, King David, the most famous king of Israel. He defeated an army that had taken over Jerusalem, and he had recaptured it. And on this very mount, Zion, he built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed to the Lord at the exact same spot that Abraham made that sacrifice back in Genesis 22. Is this an accident? Or is God up to something here? See, this is the beauty of the crimson thread and why I love it so much, how it ties the whole Bible together. There's not one wasted word, one wasted sentence in the whole Bible. It's all connected together. Of course, it's not an accident. It's no coincidence. There's no coincidences with God. So let's fast forward now to Solomon, David's son, who built the first temple on that exact same spot, Mount Zion. And so what we learn in the Bible about Mount Zion is this is the literal place where God's temple was and God dwelt with his people. So when we look in the past, we're looking at the mountain of the Lord, by the way, past, present, and future. Past, the mountain of the Lord is where God dwelt with his people. God has always wanted to have a relationship with his people all the way back to the beginning. He wants to be in relationship with us, with his people, which is why he made it this way, this temple, and this is where he would come and dwell with his people, to be with his people, because he loves and cares for his people. So now let's move to the mountain of the Lord in the present, in 2022. Isaiah said in this passage in chapter 2, in the latter days, all peoples from all nations will come to this nation, or this mountain. And so remember, Isaiah is a Jew. He's one of the children of Israel. The children of Israel are God's people. But this prophecy is about peoples from all nations coming to this mountain. It doesn't matter where you're from, what color your skin is, who you are, what you are. All peoples are coming to this mountain in the latter days. So what is Isaiah getting at it? Why are they flowing, Isaiah says, to this mountain? So remember, Isaiah is prophesying. He's prophesying about the first coming of Jesus, but also the second coming. But in particular, this first coming. So after Jesus comes, they're flowing to this mountain. Why? Because of who Jesus is and who Jesus was. See, they were flowing to this mountain to hear the gospel. They were flowing to hear about salvation and life, about what Jesus had done for his people. And at this time, at this mountain, at this time, there will be no need for military training or weapons because Jesus brings peace. So the second thing, in the present, the mountain of the Lord is now the Christian church here on earth, which includes our church here at Promise. Since Jesus died on that cross, that horrific death on the cross, on that first Good Friday, do you remember what happened after he breathed his last? The curtain in the temple was torn in two. See, before, there was a curtain dividing where God came to dwell with his people and the rest of the temple and the rest of the people. Only the high priest could go into this Holy of Holies. But after Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two and it's open to everybody now because of what Jesus did for us. And now the Christian church here on earth is where Christ dwells with his people. And since each and every one of us are part of that church, guess what? We are part of that church. We make up the church. It's not just a building here. We are the church. This is where Christ comes to dwell in each and every one of us. It says there too in Isaiah, in this prophecy, that on this mountain he will teach us his ways. This is, of course, talking about the coming Messiah. Jesus will teach us his ways. You know, we live in a dark world, and it's actually very fitting, like I mentioned earlier, that today it's like dark and dreary, this first day of Advent. Because we do live in a dark world. We live in a very sinful world. We live in a world that tells us, in order to be successful or to accomplish something, you must work hard and work harder than other people to be successful. We live in a world that tells us our worth is how much money we have, how much stuff we have. We live in a world that tells us our identity is in all of this stuff and how many likes we get on Facebook and Instagram and other social media. Does anybody ever pay attention to that? How many likes you get on something you post? For those that do social media, I do. And sometimes I wonder, well, why didn't I get as many likes on this post as I did on this post? Do those people not like me as much? They didn't like this post, but they liked that post. It's a trap. How many of you have ever seen, I'm sure it's happened, but I haven't seen it, on social media of any kind, how many people are posting things about the bad things that are going on in their life? Have you ever seen a picture of a husband and wife fighting on Facebook or Instagram? Have you ever seen a mom or dad yelling at their child because they're not listening? No, what pictures do we get? We get pictures of everybody's happy moments, right? And then we judge ourselves based on that because, man, they seem to have it all together. They're living a perfect life. It's a trap that Satan wants you to fall into. This is not our identity and how many likes we get on social media or how much stuff we have or how much money we have or what our job is. That's not our identity. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. That's what our identity is. When we were baptized, we were brought into his family. That is who we are. That is our identity. The identity and all that other stuff is going to let us down time and time again. Jesus will not let us down. And this is where the mountain of the Lord comes in, by the way, aka the church. We come to the mountain of the Lord. We flow to it, right? People are flowing to the Christian church. Why do we do that? This is what it's here for. We come here to hear God's word. We come to the mountain of the Lord, to the church, to hear the gospel message about how much Jesus loves us. We come to hear and be reminded that we are forgiven. That it doesn't matter how perfect we may or may not be, we have a Savior who died for us, who loves us, who came that first Good Friday to die so that he could rise on that first Easter and save us from sin. You know, the church, the mountain of the Lord, is where we come to comfort and encourage one another. That's one of the amazing things about churches. This is what our church family is about, the Christian church here on earth, to comfort and encourage one another. That's why one of the reasons COVID was so hard, when we couldn't do this, right? It was tough. We couldn't come together to comfort and encourage. Our brothers and sisters come alongside us when we're going through tough times. And so if you don't believe me, the mountain of the Lord not only exists here at Promise and every other Christian church here on earth, It dwells in each and every one of you. And listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 2 exactly about this. It says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's the Bible. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So we come to the mountain of the Lord to hear God's word, to hear Jesus teach us his ways. And then we have the amazing ability to go out and share an amazing message. We're sitting on a great message. And what a great time of the year, this Advent season that leads into Christmas, to share this message. Because there's people that celebrate Christmas that don't have any idea what the real meaning of Christmas is. It's about Jesus and how much he loved us, and we can share that. We're sitting on amazing news. And that's what this church, the mountain of the Lord, is for. So I said before that Isaiah is also talking about Mount Zion in a figurative way. So this is also looking at the future. So what is the mountain of the Lord in the future? You know, since I've been a pastor of only 2 years now, I've only been able to do a few funerals, and that's good. But one of the passages I like to go to is another prophecy of Isaiah that talks about this exact mountain in Isaiah chapter 25. And you can follow along on the screen. And this passage is pointing us to the second coming of Jesus. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. This veil, this covering that Isaiah is talking about, is the sin and death that covers us now. It's going to be swallowed up on this mountain when Jesus comes again. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Now this mountain, now Isaiah is talking about heaven. And by the way, Isaiah gives us some details here. We're going to have some amazing meat and wine when we're there. This meat and wine you cannot find at Kroger or any other grocery store or meat market or wherever. It's going to be the best of the best of the best meat and wine. And we are going to have a celebration. The mountain of the Lord will be an amazing celebration where we will be with the likes of people like Abraham and Isaac and Peter and John and all those loved ones of ours that have gone on before us. We will all be feasting together with Jesus as the host. And make no doubt about it, it will be amazing. Can I get an amen to that? Let's pray.